Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. My name is Tim, and the topic of our podcast today is the Santa Rosa Hitchhike Murders, a series of murders of at least eight young women, in Northern California back in the early 1970s. Case that remains open today. They never did find the culprit. So we're going to talk about these murders. But before we do, let me introduce, as always, our panel. I am pleased to be joined by the very lovely and talented, the pill-popping, penis-loving, Satan's dirty little secret, Brandy. How are you today, Brandy?
I'm fine, Tim. How are you?
I'm doing well. We missed you yesterday.
Well, I had things to do. I could not be here.
I know. Well, we certainly missed you, but we're glad you're here today.
Don't think you missed me at all, but thank you.
Are you excited about this story?
So excited.
It's an interesting case, don't you think?
I do. I do think so.
All right. And we're also joined, as always, by the very distinguished and honorable Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawkwaters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
Timmy, I'm feeling much better. As you know, the Grim Reaper had me in his cold.
Yeah, you were feeling a bit under the weather.
I was. I would like to thank all of you on the page who planned out such a lovely departure for me.
That's the History Dreams, the podcast page, where we planned your funeral. We had quite the funeral planned for you, Colonel. Yeah.
It looked
with
pretty,
a riderless ostrich.
It looked elaborate. Yes, it looked quite elaborate. I was sorry I was going to miss it.
Yeah. But we're glad you didn't die, and we're glad you're here with us today.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you have any shout-outs, Colonel?
Tim does not speak for all of us.
I do have some shout-outs. You know what? And I got one important one here. We got a very good friend of the show, Tiffany Bell. She's on the page and she's on the show. But anyway, Tiffany's mother passed last weekend.
We're so sorry to hear that, Tiffany.
So we would like to give you our condolences.
Absolutely.
And we are thinking about you. It's a very difficult time for you.
Sending love. Peace and love.
Peace and love your way, Tiffany, Ms. Bell.
Yeah, it's got to be a very difficult thing we have to go through.
In the regulars on the page, we got Shannon and Jennifer Burdick, Shannon Rossert, my accountant, and Kim Taylor, Trish Hillard. We got a new one, Jennifer Williams.
Okay, yeah, Jennifer, welcome to the podcast.
And you know, I do a crazy thing all the time, and you think it's creepy, but I always like to see where our listeners are from.
Yeah, it's creeping.
It's not. You look at the page, if they put where they're from, and she's right by my boy. So anyway, if I need somebody to go kick the ass, now I got somebody close.
Misha's in Chicago.
She is. Let's see who we got. Kim Taylor, did I mention
her? Yes. Hi, Kim.
Crazy ass Cindy Lou.
Yes, one of our sponsors. Thank you, Cindy.
Cindy, yes, she's a wonderful, very funny woman. Mm-hmm. Cindy is. And Sarah Spaghetti, of course. Can't forget Sarah.
No,
we can't. Okay, so you have any more, or we're good to go?
No, you rushed me, so I was rushing.
Well, we're trying to get through
this
story because we get a lot of complaints that we don't get to the story quick enough, and this is a long story, so.
And we blame you for that. Yeah. So.
Why don't you do shorter stories?
Do you have any further shout-outs, Colonel?
I do not at this time.
Okay. Okay, so I have a couple shout-outs. You mentioned Cindy. We want to give a shout-out to all those who are sponsoring us on Patreon.com/HistoryDweebs. We really appreciate it. Cindy Lou, Bridget, and also Alicia and Chip, thank you very much for your support. Brandy, do you have any shout-outs before we get going?
I do. But first I want to say something really quick, because it's always funny to me how our listeners, they'll post something and they'll tag me on it, and it's just perfect. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, like, I don't want to say they don't know us, because they do. I mean, we talk, and we're not, it's not like we're playing characters or anything.
Right.
But it's always so, well, aside from you, Squirrel Bait, but.
You mean the Colonel you're talking about?
I do, yeah. Okay. But I mean, it's just so funny how some of these are just dead on. Celine and Beverly, and you know, they've sent me a couple of memes that were just perfect, and I really appreciated them for what they were. So, thank you. They were dead on. But I also want to give a shout out to Michael Birdsall, and he has actually asked us to make a special shout out for him, mm-hmm. to his lovely, lovely, lovely partner, Sydney. Sydney Saint. He says, happy birthday. He loves you very much. And he couldn't think of a better person in the world to listen to serial killer podcasts with.
Man, that's true love. When you sit down and listen to this podcast.
It really is. And I think it's very cool he's making this huge public declaration of his love. So. Yeah. Good for you. Thank you, Michael.
Michael and Celine also were the winners of the History Dweebs trivia contest that we had a few days ago.
Did they get a prize?
No. They just get a shout-out. So a special shout-out to them. I also want to give a shout-out to Larry, who's always active on the page. I don't think we always give him a shout-out, but thank you, Larry, for being active on the page. We appreciate it. He doesn't get enough shout-outs. Okay, Colonel, you have anything before we jump into this story?
You put all kinds of pressure on me here, Timmy. This is a long story. I wish we'd do shorter stories. I don't really like these long ones.
I'm sorry. Beverly and my mom, shout-out.
Yeah, of course. I got Lady so Beverly. She's, I'm sure, watching our football game.
I already
game.
Gave a shout-out to her.
Lady Beverly.
She is a royalist.
She's insane.
Yeah.
Is what she is. And then, of course, Dottie Scott. I don't even have to give her a shout-out, because that's implied in every show. The only reason we do this show is for Dottie Scott.
Well, yesterday she was saying, when are you guys going to get another podcast out? I don't have anything else to listen to. So I said, promise, Mom, tomorrow.
That's okay, because my Aunt Beverly announced at a family gathering, you should hear Brady's podcast. They're so rude and vulgar and crude and... And yeah. I'm like,
is she the one leaving us the reviews? Because
we have been taking a beating on reviews here.
Right. My Aunt Beverly is wonderful. She is very funny. She's wonderful. Yeah, but she's just sharing this with my parents, who I'm sure did not appreciate it near as much as she did.
Yeah, it's probably a good thing your parents don't listen to
me. I believe we are the Skyline Chili podcast.
And that means nothing to no one outside of Cincinnati, right?
Skyline Chili is a chili you find here in Cincinnati. You put it on a hot dog or you put it on spaghetti. And it's just, really, it's the food of the gods. But it's an acquired taste.
Yeah, I don't want to rain on your parade, but let me just give you the headings of our last two reviews on iTunes. The last one on July 23rd, which is just a couple days ago, the heading is Horrible. Right. And the one for before that on July 21st, Awful, Just Awful. So, well, apparently they don't share your vision of this podcast.
I believe just the headings alone shows a total lack of imagination and creativity. Awful and horrible. I mean, that's the best you can come up with? What kind of illiterate fuck leaves a thing like that? If you're going to put a one-word thing, awful, that ain't even...
So you're concerned. You're just
Child abuse is awful. You just want more creative. The podcast is just not very good.
You just want to be more creative. You're not disagreeing with their.
If you're gonna insult me, try to use your brain a little bit. That's all I'm saying. Don't be a dumbass.
For those of you out there who haven't left us a review and like our podcast, please subscribe on iTunes and leave us a review, because we look at that daily. We check that daily. All right, so this is going to be a big day for us, and I haven't announced this on the page yet, but sometime today we're going to go over 100,000 in terms of downloads for the show. So it always amazes me when I look at those numbers.
I know, it's crazy.
It is crazy, but thank you all for listening, and thank you for following us. Okay, let's get into the Santa Rosa hitchhiker murders, so people will be happy that we're not screwing around too much, because we get that complaint.
Yeah, Chuck.
The Santa Rosa hitchhiker murders occurred in the early 1970s. 1972, 1973 were at least 8 young women, and when I say young, I mean from like age 12 to 22, were murdered hitchhiking in the Santa Rosa area in Northern California. Now, hitchhiking was a big thing back in the 70s. Did you do much hitchhiking, Colonel, when you, in the early 70s?
Oh, yeah. I used to hitchhike all the time. I used to hitchhike to school.
Yeah.
Yeah, that explains it.
So I can picture you, like, in the early 70s wearing your blue jeans, your bell-bottoms, your peace signs, smoking weed,
in the early 70s.
Burning your draft card, bad-mouthing.
I was 8 years old in the early 70s, so I'd say in the late 70s, maybe I was hitchhiking a little bit. In the early 80s, I was hitchhiking a little bit, and it seemed to kind of, 10 or 20 serial killers will kill hitchhikers.
Yeah, it really
kills hitchhiking.
It really was a weird time in Northern California for serial killers. There were a bunch of them, and that's why a bunch of them will show up on our list of suspects. As I said, these Santa Rosa hitchhike murders were never solved, so let's get into this. Anyway, Santa Rosa, for those of you who don't know, is a city in the county seat of Sonoma, California. It's in Northern California, in the Bay Area. Today, the population is just under 200,000, so I would imagine it was a bit less than that in the early 1970s.
It was 300,000, then they got all the serial killers, and it just dwindled it down.
I don't think that's true. It's the largest city in California's North Coast, so just think of the wine country and, north, just a little bit north of San Francisco, the Bay Area. From early to late 1970s, it became a focal point of a series of brutal murders. Most of these murders took place in 72 and 73, although one of the bodies they found was in 79. And I don't know if that... I could not find in my research whether or not that body had been, had been found, had been there a while, and they just found it, or... it was connected to these series. But anyway, one of the bodies was that, and the last body was from, they never did identify the victim. But 7 of the victims were identified. They were all young females. It was believed that all of them were hitchhiking or catching a ride with strangers when the murders occurred. All the victims were, except for one, was found in the nude in rural areas near steep embankments or in creek beds near the roads. They became known as the Santa Rosa hitchhiking murders. Although a great deal of effort was made, put forth by local law enforcement, including the FBI, the case remains unsolved. There's a lot of various theories on who's responsible for the murders. At this time, in that area, you had the Zodiac Killer that was active. You had Ted Bundy active during this period. You had Ed Kemper, who was Big Ed Kemper, who we did a podcast on, the Hillside Strangler. All these were active in this these time frames, and we're going to talk about the possibility of each of these possibly being responsible for the Santa Rosa hitchhike murders, but it's never been solved. It remains officially an open case, so it's hard to get a lot of information on this case, although I will cite one website, the Santa Rosa Hitchhike Murders.com. It's a website that has a lot of information, a lot of links, a lot of information about the victims. You can see the photos of the victims. So if you're interested in...
Photos of the victims?
Yeah, they got pictures of the victims on there. So if you're interested in learning more about this topic, check out SantaRosaHitchhikeMurders.com. It's a wealth of information on this particular crime. So although the police have investigated all these suspects...
You know, we just lost half our listeners.
They just turned us off
and went to the internet.
They're going to listen. They want to hear what we have to say, I'm sure. So although the police investigated all these suspects, and they questioned many others, the case has never been solved. Eight young girls were found dumped in embankments and creek beds around the Santa Rosa area. Seven of the eight victims went missing in 72 and 73. As I mentioned, one was discovered in 1979, but again, I couldn't find when she went missing. Well, she's unknown, so maybe they don't even know, but somehow they associate her with this case. And Brandy is going to tell us about the victims.
So, we're going to talk for a minute about Maureen Louise Sterling and Yvonne Lisa Weber. They were both 12 years old. They were the first apparent victims of the killer.
And, you know, I don't interrupt you, but I can't even imagine 12-year-olds hitchhiking and how dangerous that is. It's scary. I mean, I know it was a different time, but...
Now, these two girls were hitchhiking together?
Well, I haven't got that far yet. I just said their names, so... Yeah. But Tim can do this part if he needs to, because he's over there just trying.
No, I'm just saying it was weird that, you know, you have 12-year-olds hitchhiking.
Your demeanor seems harsher than normal, Devil.
Well, Chuck, I got to tell you, I am working on giving up my pop.
Oh, no.
And I have to quit smoking.
Oh, no, no.
And I have to do it now.
Well, you know, Devil...
So
now,
you're going to have to suck it up, Buttercup.
We have talked about this, and we have had long conversations. And
I think that's a wonderful thing, Brandy.
Thank you.
The smoking thing is... We've been trying to get you off those Devil sticks for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
And you've given it up, and you've quit like five times.
Uh-huh.
And you go back to it.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you keep going back to it?
Because I have a 17-year-old child, and so my choices are I can either drink excessively, which will not allow me to function, or I can shoot heroin, again, not allowing me to function.
Oh, you might find out.
I can beat the shit out of those around me, which won't allow them to function.
We don't like that.
We're against that.
I can just step outside and have a cigarette every once in a while. But...
We're going to help you through it.
I
will not judge you for smoking as
you
I was
just
a smoker.
Have judged me
no,
for
I did not. What I'm saying is...
I am not going to vape either.
Timmy and I are very supportive of your efforts
Absolutely.
To improve your health. Because although I believe, despite what your doctors may claim, it would take a stake through your heart and a beheading to end you. But we would like to have you in good health. Just, if nothing else... Because Brittany can't get down here all the time to do these podcasts.
Right.
That's very sweet. Okay, so Marie Louise and Yvonne Lisa, they were 12 and they attended Herbert Slater Middle School. Yvonne was actually about 2 weeks shy of her 13th birthday. They disappeared around 9 p.m. on February 4th, 1972, after visiting the Redwood Empire Ice Arena.
You ever go ice skating?
Yes.
Okay. I did a figure three. It was like half of a figure eight, but then I fell down.
Right.
Yeah. I did a camel toe.
It's gross.
Well, a hamel camel or something like that. I don't
moose
know.
Knuckles. Moose
knuckles. I did a moose knuckle.
Moose knuckles.
Yeah. Sure. Sow cow.
All right. So,
sow cow.
Yes. So they were actually last seen hitchhiking on, I can't say that road, northwest of Santa Rosa. Witnesses saw the girls getting into a car in front of the Redwood, in front of the ice arena. Their bodies were found the day after Christmas on December 26, 1972, a little over 2 miles north of Porter's Creek Road on Franz Valley Road. Now, do you all know where that is?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's right there.
It's right there at the corner.
At the corner.
I believe that's where Earl's
in their Dairy Queen.
Live
Bait.
In
the Dairy Queen. Okay.
You would have looked it up on Google Maps.
Okay. The body was down a steep. Their bodies were down a steep embankment, about 66 feet off the east side of the road. They had been missing for almost 11 months. A single earring, orange beads, and a 14-karat gold necklace with the cross were found at the scene. The cause of death could not be determined from the skeletal remains. So these two little girls were killed and dumped down an embankment behind what we can assume is a Dairy Queen.
Yeah, they didn't find him for quite some time, 10 to 11 months.
Well, clearly nobody was playing Pokemon Go or they'd have found him in a week and a half.
You know, I'm not trusting this Pokemon Go thing.
Okay. Well, they're data mining, so hold on.
I want you to think about this.
I don't want to think about anything right
now. If you were like Lex Luthor, right, and you wanted to find out where everything in the world was, you take a bunch of crazy asses and say, here, just turn your camera on and run about crazily about the Earth. And then you collect all that data. You know what I really think it is? I think it's some guy who lost his wedding band, and he's afraid to tell his wife.
Might be.
So he's got all these guys running around with cameras, and he figures he's going to find it that way.
That's a good guess. There was a ton of them at Jungle Gyms this weekend, walking around Jungle Gyms.
I will be honest, I did not know that when you show up to a place, there's not a real Pokemon there.
Oh, yeah, I thought I was just going to get under your foot. Or
I thought I would try it, so I got the app, you know, so I thought, I'll try this and see what the big fuss is about. But I accidentally put, it was ask your age, right? Mm-hmm. So I didn't change the year, so it was 2016, and then so I got this big thing that says my parents have to sign a release.
Oh, good Lord.
I just dropped it.
All right, so next we have Kim Wendy Allen. The killer struck again 1 month after Maureen and Yvonne disappeared. On March 4th, 1972, Santa Rosa Junior College student Kim Wendy Allen, 19, was given a ride by two men from her job at Lakespur Natural Foods to nearby San Rafael, California. They last saw her at approximately 5:20, hitchhiking to school near the Bell Avenue entrance to Highway 101 northbound, carrying a large wooden soy barrel with red Chinese characters on it. Well, I wonder if she was having any trouble getting
there. Any eyebrows?
Right. Bless her heart. Let's see. Her body was found the following day by two motorcyclists. The body was found down an embankment in a creek about 20 feet off Enterprise Road in Santa Rosa. You know where that is.
Was it underneath a soy barrel with red Chinese characters on it?
She may have
just fallen down the hill carrying that
soy barrel. They actually think there's a connection. That's one of the reasons why they think there's a connection to the Zodiac, but he'll get into that later.
The victim had been bound at the ankles and wrists, raped, and slowly strangled with a cord for an estimated 30 minutes.
Oh.
Her body was bound in a way that left her spread eagle. A semen was recovered from the body, and a single gold loop earring was found at the site. Markings at the top of the embankment and a possible leg impression indicated the assailant likely slipped or fell while throwing or transporting the body. The two men who gave her a ride, one of whom was given and passed a polygraph test, were ruled out as suspects.
Yeah, so they dropped her off, and then the
never
theory...
Never seen her again. Yeah. She got in another car.
Yeah, it's the theory.
With that big-ass barrel.
Yeah, I wonder what was with the barrel.
Laura Lee Cursa, 13, was a popular Lawrence Cook Middle School student. She was in the 8th grade. Her mother reported her missing on November 11th, 1972, 8 months after Kim Allen's disappearance. Lori Cursa disappeared while shopping with her mother at a U-Save store. It's believed, though, that Lori deliberately ran away from home because she was last seen on November 20th or the 21st in Santa Rosa while visiting friends. Lori had been known to hitchhike occasionally. She was 13.
What the other two girls were just 12.
I remember my dad saying on weekends that they would hitchhike and see how far they could get. You know, when he was a kid,
yeah,
and then, you know, try to bring back a newspaper or something from wherever they, the farthest they end up, and then they would have like, it was like a contest with them to see, but you know, that
was crazy.
Yeah, we can dream of doing it now.
Her frozen remains were found by a young couple about 3 weeks later on December 14th, 1972. Her body was found in a ravine approximately 50 feet off Calistoga Road, northeast of Rincon Valley in Santa Rosa. The killer had thrown the body at least 30 feet over the embankment. The body, however, was... the descent of the body was apparently stopped by some trees. The cause of death was a broken neck with compression and hemorrhaging of the spinal cord. There had been some speculation that she may have jumped or been pushed out of a moving vehicle, but she had been bound at the wrists and ankles. Laura's body was also nude when it was discovered, but there was no indication of sexual assault, because that's where he draws the line.
But well, he did sexually assault the other one.
Yeah,
he sexually assaulted the one that was of age.
Well, you know what?
The younger ones he did not.
Well, the younger ones, they were pretty badly decomposed, so...
Well, yeah, it was probably hard for Tom, but the one that they...
But he... Okay.
No, I mean, he could have possibly...
He could have, but...
Yeah. I think some of these, they couldn't rule out sexual assault.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, my thought was, but they weren't decomposed when he had them, but you know, I'm back with you now.
Okay. You took a left there.
This is like nicotine and caffeine... You got the double dog hitting you there, right?
God.
No caffeine and no nicotine? Do you want some methamphetamine to help you through this?
I had a Coke earlier. And
Lives in this area?
This is water.
What? Stephanie Quick. She lives in this area.
Oh.
The area this all happened?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is she on our suspect list?
No, she's not a suspect. No.
Do we know where she was at this time?
We have to ask her.
Yeah, I don't know how you'd leave that one out. But anyway, okay, so... They had no indication of sexual assault. She likely died 1 to 2 weeks prior to discovery, which would have been around the first week of December, about 10 days after she was last seen alive by her friends. A possible witness to her abduction came forward, stating that on an evening somewhere between December 3rd and December 9th, really...
Well, you know, he was probably smoking a lot of pot back in the day, you know.
While on Parkhurst Drive, he saw two men push a girl fitting Curse's description into the back of a van driven by a Caucasian man with an Afro-type hairstyle.
Which was pretty common.
Well, yeah, everybody had to.
Did you have an Afro in the 70s, Colonel?
I never did have an Afro. I was young. You got to remember, Timmy, I was born in 63, so.
Wait.
I had naturally curly hair.
Which worked out well for your mullet.
It worked out quite well for the mullet, yeah. And, you know, and some of these, not to get into too gruesome of a thing, but, you know, science was not, technology was not what it was. And you had, when women victims were left nude and animals would come along, the first parts they would start on are the soft
mushy parts. Right.
So you... often had little evidence left to go on.
Right. Well, and I guess my issue is, too, so this stoner sees these two guys pushing a little girl into a van, and that doesn't raise any kind of...
Yeah, you would think that, you know, why didn't you report that?
Dude, that sucks. Maybe we should tell somebody.
Maybe, yeah.
You know, whatever. That's just ridiculous. The vehicle sped off at a high rate of speed, so, you know, suspects... due to the manner of her death and eyewitness testimony of the possible killers, investigators believe that of all the victims, Lori is the least likely connected to the same assailant.
Yeah, so I guess there were some things that were different. But again, when you go through and do the research, mm-hmm. there's because it's an open and active case.
Yeah,
you know they keep stuff back, so they're just not.
Right.
You don't know why that the investigators. Don't think she's connected, or is at least less likely to be connected. There's just nothing out there to tell us why.
So the next murder occurred about 8 months later in July of 1973. Carolyn Nadine Davis, she was 14, she ran away from her home outside Anderson in Shasta County. Shasta! On February 6th, 1973. For several months, she stayed with friends and relatives. She disappeared July 15th, 1973, after being dropped off by her grandmother at the Garberville Post Office. She was last seen hitchhiking that afternoon near Highway 101 ramp southbound in Garberville. Her naked body was discovered on July 31st, just 3 feet from where the remains of Sterling and Weber had been recovered 7 months earlier.
Yeah, so that guy's... He's going back to the same place he's dumping.
Right. Well, it works for him. The cause of death was due to a massive dose of strychnine poisoning. 10 to 14 days before discovery.
Which is, again, a little bit different than
that's
the other one.
That's a lot different.
Yeah, because the other ones were strangled. Most of them.
Strychnine. Strychnine's rough. Strychnine's...
Yeah. That's a tough way to go.
Yeah.
Which would lead you to think that he didn't kill them immediately after picking him
up. He toyed with him for a minute. No clothes or personal belongings were found at the scene. It could not be determined if she'd been raped, probably from what Chuck said. And investigators believe that her body had been thrown from the road. It had been thrown from the road as the hillside brush appeared undisturbed. 5 months passed before the next victim went missing. Teresa Diane Smith Walsh, 23, of Miranda, was last seen on December 22, 1973, at Zuma Beach in Malibu.
Which is...
In Southern California.
Yeah, it's just down... Yeah, it's near L.A.
Yes. Teresa was apparently hitchhiking north to Garberville. She was hitchhiking to visit her family for Christmas. Her partially submerged body was found 6 days later on December 28th. It was found by kayakers in the Mark West Creek. Teresa had been hogtied with clothesline rope, sexually assaulted, strangled, and was determined to have been dead approximately 1 week. Due to recent heavy rains in the area, high water marks suggested the body could have drifted several miles. Teresa Walsh is the last known victim of these tragic murders. However, the FBI believes that there are other victims, but despite their best efforts, law enforcement has been unable to make any arrest in connection with these murders. It's believed the killer's final victim was found 6 years later in 1979.
See, that don't make any sense to me. I mean, they're all, you know, in a short span of time, and then he takes 6 years off, unless maybe he was arrested, incarcerated.
Didn't BTK take off a bunch of time?
But he took 20 years. Yeah,
or
he took off a long time.
Yeah. So, one of the unknown victims they think can be attributed to this was found on July 6, 1979. Skeletal remains were found in a ravine off Calistoga Road, approximately 100 yards from where the body of Kersa had been recovered 7 years earlier. Due to the age of the remains, authorities initially believed them to be those of Jeanette Kamalahi, a young woman who went missing at the time of the murders. However, a comparison of dental records proved negative. The victim had been hogtied and her arm fractured around the time of her murder, but there was no other evidence to establish a cause of death. It was determined that the unidentified victim was approximately 19 years old, wore contact lenses, had red or auburn hair, and at one time had broken a rib, which was healed by the time of the murder. The victim has never been identified.
And I guess, that's what I was saying earlier, this victim, she may have been killed when the others were killed. They just found her bodies.
Right.
And identified her remains until 7 years later.
The FBI and local investigators believe there were more victims whose remains have not been found. In 1975, the FBI issued a report stating that 14 unsolved homicides between 72 and 74 were committed by the same perpetrator. These possible victims include Jeanette Kamali, age 20. She was a Santa Rosa Junior College student. And she went missing on April 25th, 1972. Jeanette had been hitchhiking near the Karate.
High Karate?
No.
I still use that.
I know you do. It smells lovely. On ramp of Highway 101 near Santa Rosa.
I'm a ladies' man.
You are a ladies' man.
A friend witnessed her likely abduction and reported that she entered a faded brown Chevy pickup truck fitted with a homemade wooden camper. Those homemade campers are sweet.
How come you like a homemade camper, but you don't like tiny houses?
You don't like the tiny houses.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Let me say it again with more sarcasm. Those homemade campers are sweet.
See, it's so hard to find out when you're being sarcastic.
You carry about with you a hostile negative demeanor that makes it difficult for me and Timmy to ascertain whether you're being humorous or not.
No, it doesn't. It really doesn't.
We love you, Brandy.
Is it difficult for you, Timmy?
Sometimes.
Okay.
But she's trying to quit smoking, so I'm trying to be supportive.
You don't have to pander to the devil, Timmy.
That's okay.
You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
I have danced naked in a pale moonlight.
I didn't ask that. That is not doing that. Tim, Chuck received threatening emails today.
I did receive some threatening emails.
From who?
Anonymous.
Anonymous.
For why?
I don't know. Apparently somebody wants something from me. Some type of paperwork. And they have threatened my physical well-being.
Is this work-related or is this podcast-related?
I believe it might be work-related. I replied that I do not negotiate with terrorists.
Is that someone in this room?
Anonymous.
It was anonymous. I don't want to point the finger at anybody because that would be
take out the
irresponsible.
Anonymity.
Well, if you go missing and you're found, you know, on the roadside,
well, I think
hog-tied.
Now, you know, this is, and I won't get off subject here, but it's a true story. Now, I used to hitchhike all the time.
Won't get off the subject.
Though. I'm about 18 years old.
Yeah.
And I remember the car to this day. It was a green Lincoln Continental.
Yeah.
Pulls up. Guy's about 30 years old. Look a little greasy. And he actually had the look of like a John Wayne Gacy type of guy. And we're driving. He's talking, asking me fairly innocuous questions.
So you got in the car with this guy even though you thought he looked shady?
No, it was cold. And, no, this is a true story. Now, uh-huh. True story.
Did he start patting you on the leg?
No, he just started talking about stuff I did
you?
And everything, you know, whatever. Uh-huh. Do I have a girlfriend? This normal, kind of normal question. And they got a little bit offbeat. But I'm not paying much attention. I'm looking out, you know, looking out the side window, and I'm looking at, and I look out, Timmy, and I swear to you, on my mama's soul, Timmy.
Mm-hmm.
I look down, and the man had his pants unzipped and had his pecker in his hand. Pecker in his hand as he was talking to me, and I looked at him, and I said, "What the hell is wrong with you?" And he said, and I was actually quite angry and disturbed by this.
Yeah, well, I can imagine.
And I said, "Pull the car over." And he said, "You're not into that." And I said, "What? No, I'm not into that. Look, pull the goddamn car over."
Mm-hmm.
And I thought as I was opening the door, just giving him one good parting shot right in the side of the head. I didn't do that. But
so you're just trying to get a ride to church.
I was trying.
And this guy whips out.
Well, no, it was. I was going to the orphanage. It was, you know, it was Tuesday, so I was going to the orphanage to play with the kids.
Sure.
Teach them math.
And this guy whips out his pecker. Which is rude.
Whipped out his pecker.
I was in Miami once, and when I was in college, and staying on Miami Beach, and we went to where they changed, you know, where you change your clothes on the beach, you know, mm-hmm. changing room. And this old man was standing there. He must have been about 70 years old, right in the middle of the room, just whacking it. It was very disturbing.
Did you go ahead and change clothes in there?
No, I walked back out.
I can't imagine.
I sat on the beach, sat on Miami Beach in July with my blue jeans on.
You know what? You do that now, so it's really not that much different.
That's why, because I'm not going to take a chance on seeing that again, Colonel. It was disturbing.
I do not want to see a 70-year-old man pleasuring himself.
Unless it's me.
Well, I hope to be pleasuring myself when I'm 70.
I don't want to see you doing that. Huh.
No, I mean, I will see myself, but...
So you're gonna be one of those in-the-mirror kind of guys.
Yeah.
I'm the man in the mirror.
Now I'm grossed out. Okay, so... So the witness reported that the driver was a Caucasian male in his mid to late 20s with an Afro hairstyle. The witness also stated that the suspect seemed to move gingerly, as if he had an injury or a disability.
Or a hemorrhoid. He could have had a hemorrhoid.
He could have, but they never found poor little Jeanette's body. Lisa Smith was from Petaluma, California. She was last seen around 7 p.m. on March 16, 1971, hitchhiking along Hearn Avenue in Santa Rosa. On March 29th, the Press Democrat reported that a girl using the name Lisa Smith had recently been released.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
After being treated at Novato General Hospital for injuries, the victim claimed were sustained after being picked up by a man while hitchhiking, and she was beaten. It was never determined if this was the same Lisa Smith, but her body was never found, and Smith is still officially a missing person. That's with me so far? Okay. Rosa Vasquez was 20. On May 29th, 1973, her body was discovered. It was last seen May 26th. She was found strangled near the Aguello Boulevard entrance at Golden Gates Park in San Francisco.
Yeah, it's a little bit south of Santa Rosa now.
The victim had been thrown 7 feet off the roadway into some shrubs. How do you throw a body 7 feet?
Depends on the body.
Crazy.
If you grab them by the ankles and you spin them around a couple times and then...
Oh, like they do that rock in the Olympics?
Well, like the midget tossing. The dwarf tossing? Or you grab them by the shirt and the tail of the pants? I don't know.
Sure. Now, see, this girl wouldn't bother nobody. She was a key punch operator at Letterman General Hospital on the Presidio. Yvonne... Now, bear with me on this.
Okay.
Yvonne Quillentang.
Quillentang?
15. She was 15.
Baby.
Quillentang?
Quillentang.
That name probably didn't give her any problems growing up.
No, probably not at all. Was found strangled in a vacant Bayview district lot on June 10th, 1973. She was 7 months pregnant at the time of her murder.
15?
Yes. Angela Thomas, 16, was found July 2nd, 1973. Smothered on the playground of Benjamin Franklin Junior High School in Daly City.
I think that seems a little bit different.
She had been seen the previous evening at the Presidio of San Francisco. 24-year-old radiographer Nancy Patricia Gidley was last seen at a Roadway Inn motel on July 2nd, 1973.
Now he's moving up to the older girls.
She was found strangled behind the George Washington High School gymnasium
three days later. Victims here.
The victim was nude except for a single fish-shaped gold earring. It was determined that she died within the previous 24 hours. Nancy had also served 4 years in the Air Force and told friends and family in Mountain Home, Idaho, that she intended to become a freelance writer for the San Francisco Chronicle and was going to San Francisco to be the maid of honor at the wedding of a friend from Hamilton Air Force Base, all which proved false. What? That's all you got on that? So what was she doing?
Well, I think
they don't know
what
she was really doing.
Yeah, they don't know why she was... Yeah, that was her story about going out there to relocating, but no one knows if that, you know, none of it was true, so...
Jeez. Nancy Fusey, age 22, disappeared after going dancing at a club in the Sacramento area. Her remains were found July 22nd, 1973, in Redding. She'd been stabbed multiple times. Oh, my God. Nancy had 5 children.
How old was she?
22.
22?
Yes.
Damn.
In 2011, one of the children, Angela Darlene Fusey McAnulty was convicted of torturing, beating, and starving to death her 15-year-old daughter, Jeanette Marie Maples.
Any relation to Marla Maples?
Yeah, she ended up...
McNulty?
Yeah, the daughter of one of the victims grew up to kill one of her children.
She became the second woman ever sentenced to die in Oregon and the first since the 1984 reinstatement of the death penalty. Good Lord. Laura Odell was 21 when she went missing on November 4th, 1973. Her nude body was found 3 days later in bushes behind the boathouse at Stowe Lake in Golden Gate Park. Odell's hands were tied behind her back, and her cause of death appeared to be from head injuries or strangulation.
And you just would not want to be a young single female in the San Francisco area in the early 70s.
No, but why are they hitchhiking? Is this not gone out that you should not be hitchhiking?
Yeah, but I don't think all of them were. I think some
of them were just...
The
ones
were,
behind the high school looked like they just was attacked, sounds yeah. like.
The first eight were, and then
but
these
still,
other ones are...
Even if they're being picked up hitchhiking or another yeah. way, something should have been done to alert these women, hey, don't go out by yourself. Go in packs.
Yeah, when we get into the suspects.
Would they could have put it on the Twitter, maybe.
Maybe, but probably not on the channel. You know, Peter Jennings should have told them that this was happening.
I mean, it was, you know, Santa Cruz, I think, which is right south of there, was called the murder capital of the world back in the early 70s.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. Brenda K. Merchant, 19, was found stabbed to death in a ditch on February 1st, 1974, in Marysville, California. She'd gone missing the week before and had been known to hitchhike. On September 29th, 1974, the nude body of Donna M. Braun, 14, was found near the Salinas River, near Monterey. She'd been bound and gagged. The autopsy showed that Braun had been raped and strangled to death. Although investigators are most certain the first eight victims mentioned were likely killed by the same assailant, they are less sure about the others that I just read about. These cases represent eight of the 54 total unsolved homicides between the years 1970 and 2006 within the jurisdiction of the Sonoma County Sheriff's Office.
They got a lot of cold case files.
In 2011, cold storage DNA from some of the cases was submitted to CODIS, which is a national DNA database.
Well, 54 and 33 years, that's not a ton, though.
Yeah, but most of them were around the same time.
Yeah. See, I got a theory that I've sent off to Quantico. I've not heard yet back yet on this.
That's amazing.
Now, stay with me here.
Okay.
Now, what do we have in Michigan, Ohio, things like that?
Buckeyes.
It's cold. And hot.
Yeah.
Shit changes.
It's
okay? Now, you're out in California. The weather's nice all the time. You sit around. You're drinking your little frou-frou drinks, whatever you're doing. You're hanging out at the
beach. One of the bodies was frozen, so.
And you get tired of the same old thing every day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I got to find something to break this up. So people start killing each other. They start killing other people.
Yeah.
See,
that's
here,
the theory.
Well, here, you know, I wake up in the morning, I think, what am I going to do today? And then I walk outside and I think, fuck, it's hotter than Satan's ass out here.
Yes.
And then that breaks my train of thought. You know what I mean? Now I'm focused on the heat.
So
when is it going to get cold?
So you're saying people spend too much time outdoors?
No, what I'm saying is it's a monotony, like in Oregon. It's raining all the time. There's like, what's it going to do today? So it's the same old thing day after day. They got to break up the routine. So, not everybody's killing everybody, but occasionally, there's not that many serial killers from Ohio.
So, Jeffrey Dahmer's from Ohio. So, your theory is that serial killers are motivated by the weather?
I believe that the weather has a lot to do with it, Timmy. When you look at these serial killers now, where do most of them come from? The Pacific Northwest, where the rain and the weather's pretty constant.
California.
Florida, Texas. I mean, it's just a routine and a monotony.
Louisiana,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Anytime you have...
We have a lot from Illinois, though.
Yeah, but that's because it's so... If you've been to Illinois and been to Chicago, it's tense. Those people are tense.
And they might know Scott, too. He may be driving people to do that.
The lone wolf might drive somebody to... It could be.
Yeah.
I don't know, because he's got that cult thing going on. He's got the cults, nut jobs, and murderers.
Yeah. Tell us about the suspects in this case, Colonel.
Now, this is, you know, and I believe I've read this over. I've researched this thoroughly, Timmy.
It's like a who's who of serial killers. Isn't
it is. It's like the serial killer dating game.
Yeah. When Brandy said earlier, it's like the Avengers. They
yes.
all came together.
It's like the Legion of Doom.
This is like Serial Killer Con.
It
I
is.
Mean, that's what it is. And, you know, you got, I mean, because this is a closed case, obviously, there's
it's an open
information.
Case.
It's an open case. I mean, there's information that we can't have.
Right.
But you got the who's who of serial killers in here. The Zodiac Killer was a suspect.
Okay.
But that's kind of reaching, too.
Why was he a suspect?
Well, he kind of, his M.O. matched a little bit.
Well, and
he was roughly in the same area.
San Francisco.
San Francisco was right about that same time in the early, he was 60s, early 70s.
Mm-hmm.
But here's where, okay, in his case, a lot of the victims were found without clothes and very little jewelry. So, you know, he kept some souvenirs. It was consistent with his M.O.,
mm-hmm.
you know, being strangled slowly. And in his last letter to the San Francisco, you know, he wrote all the letters.
Yeah, he wrote the letters, taunting the police and taunting the newspapers.
Yeah. He said he was going to change his M.O., and he said, "I shall no longer announce to anyone. When I commit my murders, they shall look like routine robberies, killings of anger, and a few fake accidents, etc." Now, despite these clues, many law enforcement experts, they believe that that's a pretty far reach. They don't think the similarities in that are striking at all.
And if I remember right, he did strangle people, but he also killed people in other ways.
He shot people. He did all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, so he was doing all kinds of weird things. Now, Arthur Lee Allen. He mm-hmm. was a prime suspect, but he was also a suspect in Zodiac Killer things. So he's from Vallejo, California. He owned a mobile home at the Sunset Trailer Park in Santa Rosa.
Yeah, this guy is creepy. I don't care if he's the killer in this case or not. He's creepy.
Yeah, he'd been fired from his job at the elementary school for suspected child molestation. And he was a student at Sonoma State College. Now, he was arrested in September 74 by the Sheriff's Department and charged with child molestation in an unrelated case involving a young boy. He pled guilty and got sent to the state prison until late 1977. So that takes him out of the picture on a lot of these.
And plus, his M.O. was molesting a
little
boy.
Boys. Yeah.
He's still creepy.
Now, and Robert Graysmith wrote a book, Zodiac Unmasked, and he claimed that a Santa Rosa County sheriff revealed that chipmunk hairs were found all over one of the Santa Rosa hitchhiker victims.
Chipmunk?
Yeah. And it might be.
And that Allen had been collecting and studying chipmunks. Well.
Now, wait a minute. This guy had studied chipmunks.
This guy had studied chipmunks, and they found chipmunk hair on one of the victims. Now, that doesn't make. But he was the main suspect for a long time in the Zodiac murders, but then when he died, 10 years after his death, they compared some DNA with some DNA recovered from a postage stamp, and the results were a conclusive non-match.
Yeah, so he was ruled out as a Zodiac, and it's unlikely he was involved in these killings.
Yeah. Now, also about this time, you had Ted Bundy running wild.
Yeah, this is interesting. There's some interesting connections here.
They occurred at about the same time, and his favorite method of killing was strangulation. And he also spent time in neighboring Marin County. He attended Stanford in Palo Alto, California.
Which is right outside San Francisco.
Yeah, in the 60s. He was very familiar with that area. One of the things Bundy liked to do was throw people, leave them out by the side of the road in the woods and let the varmints get to them. But he was ruled out by a detective, Sonoma County detective, in the 70s, and again in 89. Credit card records showed whereabouts and showed that he was in Washington.
At the time.
On the time of some of these appearances. A lot of people, they still consider him a suspect, and at least a few of them. And that's what gets really interesting about this, is because it's unsolved. You know, and detectives can just, we don't know that one guy was doing this.
Yeah, it could have been.
You know, this could have been two, three different people just acting, you know.
Well, they certainly had enough serial killers running around at the time. It could have been one of, I mean, some of them could have been done by Bundy. Some of them could have been done by the Zodiac.
Yeah.
None of them could have been done. I mean, it could have been completely somebody else.
Exactly.
Or it could have been multiple people.
Yeah, so that's what's difficult with this. So Bundy could have, you know, they know.
The thing we don't know, too, is what we don't know, because there's a lot of evidence that they haven't made public.
So what we do know is that Bundy couldn't have killed a few of them. Now, he could have killed other ones.
But I've also read, I don't know if it's in your notes there, but I've also read that that credit card thing that he was in Washington at the time, mm-hmm. that he would still have had time.
He would have had it. It would have given him a 2-day gap mm-hmm. to drive to Sonoma and back. Mm-hmm. And he was known to drive hundreds of miles to kill people. And then he also, remember the person who was walking gingerly?
Yeah.
Bundy was good for faking injuries to get his victim's trust.
Right.
So that could have been him.
The one victim, the witness said that the other one looked like the man was disabled or injured.
Yeah, walking gingerly. Bundy used to pretend that he had a broken leg.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway,
I think he pretended to have erectile dysfunction, too.
I don't think that was pretend.
Oh. Yeah, I that one I could not attest to.
And bloody stools.
Hmm?
He told people he had bloody stools.
Yeah, the erectile dysfunction is an ugly, ugly, ugly thing. And it's even worse when you got the reverse erectile dysfunction.
I know, you suffer from that.
Well, yeah, and it's not fun.
R-E-D.
The reverse erectile dysfunction. Yeah, and you know what that is, though. It's when you're...
I thought it was PBS.
Three-quarter mast all the time.
I thought it was PBS.
R-E-D.
It gets you a little tender after a while.
Permanent boner syndrome.
Permanent semi-boner syndrome.
PBS.
Yeah, yes. PBS. Permanent boner syndrome. Yeah. And it's nothing to laugh at.
No.
It is actually quite funny.
I have to get pants 4 inches longer, bigger in my waistline. So it doesn't.
Because you're fat.
No. Nope. So it doesn't.
Wait, man! I hope she starts smoking again soon.
I know she.
Give that girl a cigarette.
Yeah, can you smoke marijuana, devil? Because I.
You need some medical.
Oh, I can't.
Okay. We need to get you some medical. They're gonna make that legal here, and we're gonna need you to get that. You have the. How long have you been not smoking? I gotta ask.
About 3 hours.
It's been
you're doing well.
You already like this?
I'm sure the next few days are just going to be fabulous.
Yeah. You know what only...
Well, I didn't... First of all, I said I had to. I didn't say I already had quit smoking. I need to quit smoking.
You know what would only make this more perfect? Is if in the next day or two, you got your period, devil.
Or I was not got knocked up.
Or you got knocked up. One
that
or two.
Would make it better.
Yeah.
Do you grieve the fact that you have to quit smoking? I mean, do you see it like a... Are you depressed by it at all?
No, I see it as something that I need to do, but...
Yeah, now, see, when I quit smoking, I'll tell you what I thought is... First of all, you know me, I'm a man of few vices, Timmy.
Right.
I'm a man of few vices.
I say that a lot about you.
And I had one vice, and that was smoking the cigarettes, Timmy.
See, that's my thing.
And,
you know...
No, you got a lot more of them. You got a lot more vices.
No, I don't.
So,
yeah. A lack of self-awareness being one of them. And,
no, I do not.
So anyway, you know, I would go home, and of course, Mrs. Colonel, you know, had strict rules on where I was and was not allowed to smoke. Mm-hmm. And but I could go out on my deck and smoke. And what I enjoyed was walking out on my deck in the evening with my faithful companion, Rudy. And I would smoke a cigarette, Timmy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just me and a cigarette and a dog. And cigarettes become like a friend to you.
Mm-hmm.
And
Chuck's only friend.
And I've had, no, the dog's my friend, too.
Mm.
And you become... It's very hard when you give them up, giving up that relationship that you have. Because, you know, the one thing you can always count on is a cigarette to me.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're quitting, devil... And I know it's harder for you because, in real life, and I got friends, and you have cigarettes.
She doesn't have a dog.
And you don't even have a dog. So what I'm saying to you is, good luck. This is not going to be an easy road for you.
What I would say to you two is...
No. They'll say it to you too. I said I was supportive of your...
We're trying to support you.
To support you.
We're trying to support you. But what I'm saying is it's like losing a friend. And you ain't got many friends to lose, Devil. You ain't got many friends to lose.
But it's a friend that will...
And they're in low places.
It's a friend that will kill you, so good job in getting
rid of
it. I
already have those.
Yeah, I got friends that might kill me. I got but family that might kill me.
We support you in your efforts to quit smoking. That's a good thing.
I know this is... we're all friends here, so I'm just going to ask you. Are you going to be on the PMS soon? Because could you wait till you quit smoking until after the PMS kicks out?
Because that's a double whammy.
Yeah, because we don't want to be around you.
I don't have PMS, ever.
Timmy?
She's PPMS, permanent.
Yeah, she's in denial to that one. Because I'm pretty sure you've been diagnosed with a premenstrual syndrome disorder.
No.
Well, what accounted for you running a pen through my hand a couple months ago?
You pissed me off.
Yeah, well. So, anyway.
That wasn't crazy. That was necessary.
Where were we? We were with Ted Bundy. Speaking of...
I knew it was you, Fredo. I knew it was you, Fredo.
Speaking of people who are just just mean and scary, let's get back to Ted Bundy.
Okay.
He liked to rape, strip, and strangle and dump the remains near roads. He had that going for him.
He had that going for him.
Well,
I don't know if you put that on your resume or anything.
Well, he might have. I don't know.
It's
got him some notoriety.
It did. And
I don't judge him.
But anyway, he was... he's one that could be in the mix. They haven't really knocked him out yet.
They keep going back and forth. They ruled him out twice, but I think they've got some DNA that they're trying to run now to see if there's a match on. Because he admitted to killing someone in California.
In 2000, he said he did 100. Mm-hmm. He killed 100 people, and he confessed to killing some down in about 1974 when he was 27.
I think he had a girlfriend too in that area. I don't know if you mentioned that. I think he had a girlfriend in the Santa Rosa area.
Did he?
Yeah.
Now, see, and you know his girlfriend, they think that's what started everything with him. That's why all his victims. And the other thing is,
no matter how bad your relationships are, Brandy, you can always say you never dated Ted Bundy.
Mm-hmm. When you married Delaney,
yeah.
You could always say at least it ain't Ted Bundy.
Right.
So, anyway. Comforting. Now, in 2013, investigators announced they were hoping to compare his DNA. If the DNA tests have been conducted, the results have yet to be made public.
Yeah. Again, we don't know.
Now, one of my favorites, Big Ed Kimber.
We did a podcast on Big Ed.
We did.
Yeah.
The co-ed killer or the co-ed butcher. He was a rapist, a necrophile, a cannibal, and he is known for having abducted and murdered several women in the 1970s in Santa Cruz, California.
Which is about 100 miles
south. 108 miles southwest, mm-hmm. as a crow flies, Timmy. Now, Kimber was regarded as innocent and non-threatening by his young female victims, embodying the persona of a gentle giant, a facade he created using nonverbal cues to deceive them into entering his vehicle. He solely targeted young student hitchhikers during his killing spree, luring them into his vehicles, driving them to quiet, unfrequented areas where he would murder them before taking their corpses back to his home to be violated, desecrated, and eaten. With Kimber often keeping the severed heads of his victims for several days before disposal. And we all know what Ed did with those heads. What did Ed do with those heads, Timmy?
He got some head from those
heads. He got some head from those heads.
Yeah,
he did.
So even though he focused on hitchhikers and young women and murdered him, he would often rape them after. He was in a necrophilia, and he was severed heads and things.
It was a Marine drill sergeant, and he was yelling, you know, how to get with the boys, and mm-hmm. he was screaming at this boy that he would poke his eye out and skull fuck him.
And that actually
came from Ed Gein.
Yeah.
Ed Kemper.
Yeah. Speaking of which, Ed Gein, this is the date of his death.
It is.
Yeah.
Happy Dead Day, Ed.
Happy Dead Day.
So anyway,
So what
between
do we think
about 72 and 73, Kempa embarked on a murder spree that started with two college students and ended with the murders of his mother and her best friend. And everybody knows what Ed did to his mama. What did he do to his mama, Timmy?
He abused her, severed head.
Oh, yeah. Yes, he did. He finally got that woman to shut up.
Mm-hmm.
He got him to shut up by, well...
Gross.
Yeah,
he stuck his pecker in his mama's severed head.
I got it. I got it. Before you said it.
Yeah, which isn't consistent with the Santa Rosa murders.
No. So, although the MO is the same, none of them were decapitated, or none of them were victims of postmortem rape. He can't be ruled out, but, you know...
Or some of them, I think he can.
The later ones, he was incarcerated.
Yeah.
So, now you have Herbert Mullins. He was another serial killer that we know about. He killed 13 people in California in the early 70s, Timmy.
He had to swing a dead cat in Southern California.
I'm telling you, man.
Yeah. Oh, no, they was unionizing.
Oh, wow.
I mean, they had a union and everything going out there. They wanted better benefits, health care, what? Everything.
I mean, you know, you go out hitchhiking, you just don't know. Bundy's going to pick you up. Zodiac Killer's going to pick you up.
You don't want Ed to pick you up. Hey, you know what? Bundy, you can strip me, rape me, and throw me by the side of the road.
Yeah.
But leave me some dignity. Don't cut my head off and then just use me for your own
sexual gratification.
And pleasure.
Yeah.
So anyway, Herbert William Mullen, he killed 13 people.
We need to do a podcast on him.
Including at least one young female hitchhiker whose body he discarded by the road. His MO was not a good fit. Mullins liked to kill men, women, and children. He was an equal opportunity killer.
Yeah, he was.
He was only known to have killed one hitchhiker, a 24-year-old woman named Mary, and that was because she didn't have gas money.
So gas, he killed grass, her. Or ass. Nobody rides for free.
That's what he told her. So anyway, she was a college student who was running late for an interview and decided to hitchhike. She never did get that job. The date of her disappearance was October 24, 1972. Now, Mullen picked her up and stabbed her through the chest in the back.
Ugh.
He then dissected her body and scattered her remains along the side of a hillside road.
Again, that's not consistent with...
Different with the Santa Rosa murders.
Yeah.
He killed 13 people. He was arrested in 73, which, like Kemper, would rule him out as a suspect in later Santa Rosa murders. He confessed to the 13, which he claimed... And you know, we have no way of knowing if this is true or not. He confessed, saying that his 13 killings prevented earthquakes.
Well, I don't know how that would have happened, so...
But did they have earthquakes? That's my question.
Chuck walking out to the parking lot prevents us being attacked by sharks. Or
and werewolves.
And werewolves, yes.
Yeah, he was insane.
Not necessarily, now, Timmy. Did they have earthquakes? I mean, that's a legitimate question. We're going to have to look into that one. So in 1973, after a trial to determine whether he was insane or culpable, he was convicted of two murders in the first degree and nine in the second, sentenced to life imprisonment.
Yeah, but none really with the Santa Rosa. He wasn't really seen as a...
Yeah, now some other suspects you got, Frederick Manali. He was a 41-year-old Santa Rosa Junior College creative writing instructor.
Now, this is an interesting one here, this guy.
Yeah, he was suspected when after his August 24, 1976 death in a head-on collision in Highway 12, sadomasochistic drawings he had created depicting former student Kim Wendy Allen one of the victims were discovered among his belongings.
He is also was a suspect in the Zodiac killings.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, reading these forums online, and, you know, you take that with a grain of salt, but apparently one of the items that they found in his possession when he died was a backpack similar to the one that Wendy Allen had supposedly had when she went missing.
Ooh.
And, you know, with all of these girls, a lot of them were found nude or maybe just with one piece of jewelry on them.
Yeah.
And they think maybe, you know, that the serial killer was keeping them as trophies or whatever.
Right. Yeah, they would have one earring, the mm-hmm. serial killer would take the other. Which was interesting because one girl had a 14 gold carat gold cross and chain that he did not take.
Yeah, and that Chinese, you know, that girl that had the Chinese lettering.
Yeah,
they found that that was broken up and made into like a some sort of satanic symbol mm-hmm. that was found near her body.
Oh,
and that's why they suspected the Zodiac, because the Zodiac killer was, you know, really into symbolism and stuff.
Well, that was not in my information that was given to me.
If you had done your research, you would have picked that up.
Well, research? I thought you do the research.
We got people for that.
Continue.
My people have let me down, Timmy.
Continue. No,
okay, get Bob in here. Bobby.
Any other suspects, Colonel?
Well, the Hillside Stranglers were possible. Now, they're far reach. I mean,
because they were in Los Angeles.
Yeah, they were in Los Angeles.
And it was later, right? I mean, it was...
Yeah, one didn't even get to California until 1977. Now, the other one...
These were Bruno, cousins.
Yeah, they were the cousins. They don't know when he got to California, but he believed it was sometime in the early 70s. But again, they were down by
L.A.
L.A. Now, that was the M.O., was to rape and toss about by the side of the highways.
But it was everyone's M.O. I mean,
that's true. And really, I mean, if you're going to do it, now, if you're going to, what I've heard is throw them in a body of water because it gets rid of a lot of the DNA evidence. But you know, that's they're a big stretch. So, you know, this is just a serial killer. They did not, you know, who all these people could have used, Timmy. At one point or another, all the people we're talking about on this page, they could have used my good friend and my consigliere.
Yes,
Nicola Reed.
I didn't know she was.
She is.
Oh wow.
Yes.
What would she have done for them?
Well, she would have probably provided them some fine legal advice.
Mm-hmm.
She may have been able to present a couple of good torts for them to possibly help them in their engagements with the constabularies.
May I ask you if you know what the word tort means?
I believe it is some kind of legal term tort, I believe, at its heart, is contract law.
You would be wrong.
Well, see, Timmy, I did not go to law school, unlike my friend Nicola Reed.
And like me.
Or
and
Tim you, Scott.
Yes, but when so it comes to legal advice, I'm going to trust Nicola because Nicola is...
Would you like for me to tell you
what tell me what a tort is.
A tort is a wrong.
It's a lovely pastry.
A tort is a wrong?
Yeah. Like
so, like, the devil is a tort.
Assault, battery, defamation.
You have torted me. You have torted me, woman.
So they didn't need a tort.
Okay,
but I was really impressed you threw that word out there.
Well, okay.
A tort was a dessert.
Yeah, I thought it would have raspberries in it.
Yeah.
But anyway, I had her name on here, and I realized I needed to work Nicola in.
Oh, you did a fine job. So, Colonel, who do you think of all these suspects?
I don't believe any of them are involved.
You think it's someone totally different?
I think this is someone that they did not catch. I believe this is someone who probably and you know, I got a strong feeling about this, and you know the Colonel is a little bit psychic.
Mm-hmm.
I got a feeling that now this is in the wine country, right, Timmy? Think about this. This is one in the wine country.
Mm-hmm.
You got to harvest the grapes.
Mm-hmm.
And this man was not really killing during the wine season.
Mm-hmm. We don't know that.
I believe he lost a limb in a thrasher accident, and
Are
it put
Bartles
into his killing ways.
Are you Bartles or James?
Have you ever seen The Mentalist?
I have.
I think of all of the suspects, the guy, the Bonacci. No.
Buono.
The guy that had the drawing. Yeah, the drawing.
Now that's an interesting one.
Yeah, Wendy.
That's Manali.
Yeah, he had apparently the drawing again. You don't know about these forms or whatever, but apparently the drawing depicted how Wendy Allen was found when she was murdered. Mm-hmm.
He was into that S&M stuff.
And, yeah, like brandy.
Yeah, and I don't have that peculiar predilection, mm-hmm. Devil, and you have more experience in that field than me or Timmy. So,
what are your thoughts, Brandy?
What are your thoughts?
Do you think any of these guys did it, or do you think it was a different person?
Do you think it was an S&M scene gone bad?
No.
So
no,
nothing.
What about the suspects? Do you think any of them fit, or do you think
no? Wasn't any of them? They'd have tied it to them by now because they pulled cold DNA. They've been doing that shit. They're running through CODIS. Yeah. They'd have come up with something from Bundy or Gacy or any of the biggies, Zodiac, any of those, because they had enough material.
I believe it
was. It's going to be somebody.
I believe it was an unknown serial killer. Yeah.
So, and
you know, because sometimes
so he stopped. So he stopped. So you think he died or went to prison or both? Or
could be anything.
Moved.
He might have moved and started someplace else.
Started a job here in Cincinnati.
He could have developed the erectile dysfunction.
Started working with us in a podcast, perhaps, capacity.
Perhaps.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think it's any of the big names. I think it's probably a different one. But, man, what a scary fucking place in the early 70s. If you're
It was like, you know, and what I imagine is two guys leaping out of a car, banging heads, one being Big Ed Kemper and one being
Ted Bundy. Yeah, it's like they're fighting over the same victims.
Yeah, and it's like, no, she got long brown hair. That's one of mine.
Oof.
You know, because Bundy was very selective in his taste. He you know.
But you know what? In the Legion world, you would think the girls would know better than a hitchhike with all these wackos running around, you know.
Well, you know, this is not a girl thing. This is a people thing.
It'll never happen to me.
People, yeah, that's what it is. It'll never happen to me.
Well, true. I mean, but I mean, I never hitchhiked. Have you ever hitchhiked, Brandy?
No,
me neither.
I hitchhike quite a bit.
I mean, it even bothers me getting in taxis in foreign countries and stuff.
You don't like to get in Ubers, Timmy.
I don't even like Ubers because there's some wacko serial-killing Uber drivers out there.
But there's no crazy regular cab drivers.
No. Well, they're regulated. Brandy.
Yes.
Where can people find us?
Find us on iTunes.
Yeah. Please leave us a review. We love positive reviews.
Yes, we do. iTunes. Find us on Facebook.
Yeah, we have two pages. The History Dweeb page, which is dedicated to, like, real history. And History Dweeb, the podcast, where we put all kind of interesting stuff
up there. We discuss labias.
Yeah, we do. And majors and minors. But
I minored in labia in college.
Did you major in it as well?
I did not major. I was a labia minor.
Join us on History Read, the podcast page. It's a group dedicated to those folks who listen to the podcast. We have a lot of fun there. Where else can people find us, Randy?
Libsyn.
You can find us on Twitter at HistoryDweebs1.
Yep.
Brandy, we hope you are able
to... You sound a little down, devil. You sound a little down. You don't sound yourself. You sound tired, you sound grumpy, but we're going to give you a pass on the grumpy. But just how, we're concerned about you, devil.
We want you to stop smoking. We really want you to stop smoking.
You can tell I'm tired when my eyes is drooping. Like,
you know, I thought maybe you was having a stroke over there.
No, my eye droops.
Okay.
But well, thank you for that.
No, well, we.
No, if you was having a stroke, I was going to take your M&Ms in the refrigerator, just so you know where we stand.
Right. I accept that.
All right. Colonel, any final thoughts?
Well, we will be speaking. They'll see us tonight. We're going to be delivering one of the speeches at the DNC convention.
And we will not.
We have to. It's only fair. We did one at the Republican convention. Now we got to do one at the Democrat.
No, you streaking at the Republican convention does not count as
well,
a speech.
Well, I might be streaking at
He's
the Democrat.
He's bringing streaking back.
Hmm?
Yeah. He's bringing sexy back.
No, he's not doing any of those things is the problem.
Are you bringing sexy back?
I'm trying.
All right.
The colonel got back. That's what they said. The colonel got back.
Nobody says that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, everyone. We'll see you again next time on History Dweebs.
Good day, listeners.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.